Well, just a sidebar, you got to admit that St. Paul is as shrewd as they come. And when he spots this, the two factions that are accusing him before the Roman cohort, he notices that there's a bunch of Sadducees there. And so he turns and he says to the Pharisees, "Hey, I'm being persecuted because I believe in the resurrection from the dead." And of course, the Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection from the dead are going, "What?" I mean, of course, he's being persecuted because he's proclaiming Jesus. But of course, the minute the Pharisees hear this, they go, "We find nothing wrong with this man." And they start going after the Sadducees. And the Roman cohort comes down and rescues him. Only St. Paul can pull this off. I mean, this is what a life. But anyway, extremely shrewd, extremely brilliant. Gets himself rescued out of a completely bad situation. And at the end of the day, he bears witness to Jesus in Rome. Today's gospel reading, this is a prayer that, this is the ending part of the priestly prayer of Christ, John 17. It's an important thing. I would just take this gospel reading for today, and I would just bring it into your own daily prayer. Because this is Jesus's prayer for you. All throughout the John 17, where Jesus has been praying for his disciples, right? He's been praying really for his immediate disciples, the ones that are going to follow him, the ones that are going to, as it were, build the church around him and the Holy Spirit. And so that then, right at the end of the prayer here, he shifts the tone and he instead says, "I not only pray for them," that means his disciples, his immediate disciples, there in the first century, "I pray for all those," that's you, "who are going to be touched by them, who are going, who are going to believe in me because of their word." That's all of us. And of course, when he says that, he then tells us what he prays for all of us. And again, we see that he's praying that we're going to have the glory that he's given us. We're going to have the Spirit, the advocate that he's given us. And finally, he says for us, "I pray too that they are going to be one," like we're going to be in unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, "even as you and I, Father, are one," so that we are going to be brought into the fullness of the whole triune love. And then he says that his prayer not only is for this, but it's already occurring for all those who believe in the word of the apostles that, of course, they took from Jesus. He says that you may love them even as you have loved me. So not only, we get this repetition of this prayer. Jesus says this for his own disciples, and now at the end, he prays for all of us too, that we will be loved by the Father, even as the Father has loved Jesus, his only begotten Son. We're not only, we're going to be loved by him the same way. That's his prayer for us. And then when that happens, we're going to be brought into the fullness of the Trinitarian life, which is the fullness of eternal joy, as Jesus has explained throughout this entire last discourse from John 15 to John 17. And so in the end, just to think about that, just bring this into your prayer. Just take this one little prayer that's, the prayer that Jesus has for you. Bring it into your own prayer life. Just reflect on that a couple of times, that we're going to be loved, even as the Father has loved his own Son, and of course, that we be brought into the fullness of the triune love, which is eternal joy, eternal bliss. And of course, at which point, as Jesus prays for us, our joy will be complete. Amen.